The gift of God. 6 months ago, I began a chapter in my health to prevent Alzheimer's. And the common belief is, many people have told me, I've heard, you can't do anything to stop Alzheimer's. The implicit thought there is, so why do anything? Or people will say to me, well, something's going to get you. You know, you might as well just live life the way you want to. But what I've learned is that Alzheimer's is a healthy response of the brain to three negative stimuli. One is inflammation. Second is a deficit of nutrients that your brain needs. And third is toxins in your system. So then the brain responds with the Alzheimer's response. Now, we might be going down that road, and I actually learned from my doctor that I am 3 for 3 going down that road, but there's a way to stop it. There's a way to be saved from this road that I and probably a lot of people are on. I even did the genetic test, so I know that I don't have the Alzheimer's gene that makes it worse. You still get it with Alzheimer's without the gene. I know I have the cardiovascular gene, apparently. But the gene that every one of us has is the original sin gene, you could say. That every one of us is genetically disposed to a brokenness that has been handed down to us from our original parents. That original sin is not a sin committed, it's a sin contracted. It's one that's passed down to us. And we feel the effects of it, that the effects are that our passions are disordered, we want things that aren't good for us, our will is weak to choose what's good. I know what's good, but I don't do it. And I'm confused about what is true and what is good. So we feel the effects of it. Yet the good news is that we have a divine physician with the remedy. Our gospel today tells us the good news, and in all the gospels, this is the best, one of the best encapsulations of it. We're told, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned. That we're all headed down this road. And Jesus is the one who says it doesn't have to be that way. That there is a cure, there's an answer. There's a gift of God that he wants to give us. And it's miraculous. Our first reading today speaks of an earlier miraculous saving. That the people, the Israelite people, had been exiled to Persia. And the king of Persia, 70 years later, comes along and then miraculously says, okay, now you can all go back home and I'm going to help you rebuild your temple. It's like, what? That they were saved miraculously by this king. You and I are saved by a different king, that Christ, the good king. And as we hear in our gospel, that just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. That the story in the desert, you remember, that the serpents, the people had been complaining, and so then God allowed these serpents to go and bite them, and so they were poisoned. And so the antidote was Moses took this pole, and he mounted a serpent on the pole, which is where we get the medical symbol today, even still. And the idea was that anybody who looked at it, it was as if the poison was drawn out. So Jesus references this, and that he's the one who draws the poison of sin out of us to himself. That we all have that condition, that brokenness. And yet Jesus wants to draw it out from us. Jesus wants to save us from that. That he has the medicine of immortality. And so, what do we do? Well, there's a process that just as my doctor gave me a process. She's like, all right, you got to stop eating foods that cause inflammation. You need to address underlying infections and issues. You need to boost the nutrients in your brain. And you need to remove the toxins from your environment. That's the process that I cooperate in so that I can experience health, salvation in my body, so to speak. And so God also gives us a process to turn away from sin, to be baptized, to be born again, to go to confession, to receive the Eucharist. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have life within him, to pray daily, to walk this path that he created for us. Now, there's a distinction because this path is a cooperation, but the real gift is from him. That salvation comes from what? Some people might say, well, salvation comes from faith in God. But St. Paul is a little more nuanced on that. He says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And so we Catholics, we want to say that what saves us is grace. What is grace? Grace is God's divine life. That I need God's divine life, which is eternal, so that I can share in his eternal life. And so what St. Paul goes on to say, that this is not from you, it is the gift of God. It is not from works, so no one may boast. That you and I, we do not earn salvation. Salvation is not a work. Salvation is a gift of God. And you and I are invited to cooperate in that gift, to receive that gift, and to allow that gift to transform us. That God created the world without our help, but he desires to save the world with our cooperation. That God, who is the perfect gentleman, saves us only with our cooperation. God can do anything, but because he respects our freedom, he invites our freedom to choose it and accept it as well. So just one thing that's helpful with this image, the way I'm proposing it today, is when you think about it this way, when you and I have a lapse, I had one of my buddies called me this week and he fell off the wagon. And when we fall off the wagon, we can feel pretty ashamed. But when I have the big picture in mind that, you know what, I have this condition. You know, it's just like if you had, anything, diabetes or whatever, I have cancer, that some days are kind of hard. And some days we can feel pretty weak and succumb to things. That with that analogy, that because of the condition of original sin that we have, that sometimes I give in to my weakness. I'm not saying it's good, but I'm just saying today it got the best of me, that I'm pretty weak. Okay. But when I recognize it with that, through that lens, then maybe I can be a little more patient and kind towards myself. To say, you know, that was the best I had today, but you know what? I'm going to wake up and I'm going to take my medicine and I'm going to keep going. I'm going to turn back to that gift of salvation, that grace, that forgiveness, that mercy that God wants to offer me, and keep going. Last little story. My first year of priesthood, I received a phone call from a woman who would bring communion to a nursing home near my parish. And she said, Father, there's this woman who's dying from brain cancer, and she wants to be baptized. You got to come meet her. I was like, let's do it. So I met her there, and we went, and I believe the woman's name was Susan, as I remember it. And I met Susan, and I said, do you want to be baptized? And she said, yes. I was like, awesome. So we talked about what that would mean, and the good news is, yeah, in danger of death, like, the rules go out the window. It's just God's grace and mercy everywhere. And I said, well, how about this? I'll come back. I think it was like the next day. I was like, I'll come back tomorrow, and I'll bring the oils, I'll bring the blessed sacrament so you can have your first communion, all that stuff. So I go back the next day, and Susan wasn't having a great day, which was probably every day, but that day she just wasn't doing so well, and I was like, I know you said you wanted this yesterday, but I can tell you're not doing so well today, so you know what? I need to go out of town for a few days, so how about I'll come back, and then I'll baptize you and everything. Well, that woman, the person who brought communion, is like, no, Father, like, you need to baptize her now. I was like, well, she's just not doing well. And she's like, Father, I really think you need to baptize her. I was like, okay. I was like, you know what? Let's just do it. So I said, you want this? Okay. Baptism, confirmation, gave her first communion. It was beautiful. I went out of town, so I got back on Friday, and I called the woman. I said, hey, how's Susan doing? She said, well, she died on Tuesday, and because of you, she went to heaven. The gifts that God offers us affect eternity. That every one of us suffers, every one of us will die. But Jesus is the hand offered to us with the medicine of mortality to give us the salvation for which we long. That the gift of God is Jesus Christ, our divine physician. And he invites us to receive and respond to that great gift he offers.